tricking us. He's busy attracting us to the things of this world. I mean, how many people are really interested in the things of God today? How many people are interested in heaven? How many people are interested in finding their way there? The devil's got people so confused and befuddled that all they can do is live for this life, live for the here and now. That's what people always tell me. They say, well, if I can get through this life, then I'm doing okay. Not really. Not really. Because this life's only good for 70 or 80 or 90 years. But then there's eternity, and that's forever. Most people have not prepared for eternity. Most people have been deceived by the devil into thinking that this is all there is. That once they die, it's lights out. It's a hole in the ground. Or it's a few ounces of ashes in a cremation urn. You know, that's what... So why should I bother? There's nothing past this life. They've believed the lie of the devil. Let me just quickly... I need my Bible, please. I left it behind. Let me see a verse that I haven't written down here, but it's one that comes to mind. I believe it's in 2 Timothy. Don't have my new Bible marked up well enough to see where everything is, but here in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2 and verse 24, the scripture says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Before we become a Christian, before we can get involved in Christian warfare, fight the world, the devil, and the flesh, we have to deal with the deception that Satan has dropped over us, the net that he's dropped around us, the blinders that he's put on us, where we won't think about the next world. We won't think about God. And it says here that that the devil takes us captive at his will. Look at that, verse 26 again. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? I know for 20 years I was taken captive by the devil. For 20 years I didn't know God. I didn't know Christ. I didn't know the way of salvation for 20 years. And I wasn't a churchgoer. Never had a Bible. You know, since I started walking with the Lord, I stopped reading my Bible virtually every day. On average, I suppose it would average out hour and a half, 2 hours a day I spend reading my Bible with that. And then if it's stuck, I put a lot more into it. But before that, never knew a word of it. I was at his will, a slave. And Satan has many vices, and he has ways of luring us the wrong way and keeping us in the wrong way. I thank God that when I was 20, I heard the gospel, and I thank God that I believed it, because there's nothing like knowing where you're going. Nothing. I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know? I mean, what does atheism have to offer? A dead-end road. Nothing at the end of it. If they don't even know half of the of what's at the end. They don't have a clue of the bad news. They just think it's a dead end. But it's more than that. So Satan, our enemy, first had an interest in us the moment we entered into this world. And so we're told that the Christian and the preacher, the man in the pew and the man in the pulpit, needs to instruct those that oppose themselves. You know, if you're not a Christian, you oppose yourself. I opposed myself. And what the Bible means by that is we don't do what's good for us. We go against our own interest. We don't know what's good for us. We go against ourselves. We oppose ourselves. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Yes, we go against our own good. I mean, if people were really concerned about avoiding hell, they'd do something about it, wouldn't they? Because it's going to be their destruction. But they oppose themselves. They don't inquire into it. I thank God at an early age, I was concerned about where I was going. Even though I didn't become a Christian until I was 20, I had 20, pretty well, as far as I can remember back. I can remember back to when I was 5 very clearly. But I'm sure it happened before then, that I would always be wondering, why am I here and what's coming after this life? No one else in my family was like that. I was the only one. My dad, he wouldn't talk about religious things. He wasn't philosophical. My mother, well, she really didn't have the answers. She didn't know how to answer me. But I thank God that I was aware that there was a hell and that I was a sinner and that if I died that way, I would be going to hell. I was sure of that. I thank God for that. But what we do, though, is Satan comes along and says, well, all right, don't worry about it. We'll look after that later. You're a young person. You've got your whole life ahead of you. No hurry, okay? Just enjoy things for now. And we'll get religious at the end, okay? You know, when it's time to have, we have the priest or someone else, and we'll take care of it now. In the meantime, just have a good time. You know, there's plenty of time. Trickery of the devil, lie of the devil. How many people have thought that way and died prematurely? Died before they had a chance to do anything? No. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is now. So there are those that oppose themselves. That's all of us. We all started out that way. And then it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. If God will give them a changed mind and a changed heart and a desire to do different things. Repentance. And repentance is something that God has to help us with. And he does. By his Holy Spirit, he wakes us up. He shows us the danger we're in. He troubles us about the past and about the future and about meeting God, or even about just the way our lives are going. He troubles us. And if we are humble and tender, he will give us repentance. To the acknowledging, as it says in verse 25, to the acknowledging of the truth. Because until we repent, we cannot acknowledge the truth. If we're full of pride and saying, I don't need God. What do I need God for? I've got my bank account. I've got my home. I've got my wife. I've got my family. I've got my vacation. I've got my vocation. Money. What do I need God for? If we have that kind of an attitude, no, we won't find God. And God won't deal with us. Because it's something that comes with humility. We have to humble ourselves. God will give us repentance, meaning he will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Once we're tender and humble and to God, then he will give us repentance. To he'll take us a place of agreeing with him, the place of admitting our guilt, our sin. He'll give us repentance to the place of realizing that we're on death row, that we deserve hell. That's all part of repentance. And that we will, to the acknowledging of the truth. And of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the ultimate truth we have to acknowledge, apart from many other areas. The ultimate truth that Christ is the way. Once we've repented of our sins, that Christ is the way to the Father. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So once we have repented to the acknowledging of the truth, then it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You can get out of his trap. I thank God for that. I rejoice every day. He doesn't have me anymore. He had me for 20 years. I'm not in his trap anymore. That they may recover themselves out of the snare. And a snare is usually, you think of a rabbit snare or something, like a wire. A wire that is wrapped around your ankle and you're trying to get away, and all it does is dig deeper, cuts into your flesh. And that's the devil. He ties us with his snare. But through repentance and faith, repentance toward God, as the Bible says, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, we are then recovered from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So every one of us needs to realize we start out captives of the devil. Most people won't admit that. They're too proud. Oh, no, I don't even believe in the devil. What do you mean I'm a captive of the devil? Are you crazy, they say? What do you mean I'm a captive of the devil? Most people won't even admit that. You have to. How can you deal with it until you admit it? That's the beginning, isn't it? But there is this hope. There is this escape that is provided in Christ Jesus. Now, once we have gone to the Father as a condemned sinner, we've admitted it to him just like a little child. It's very simple. You know, some people say, well, what do I have to do? You know, and they want to know some kind of magic prescription, some kind of special formula. There isn't. There isn't a prescribed set of words. But what it involves is like a little child coming to their parent and saying, Mum or Dad, I'm sorry for what I said and for what I did. I'm really sorry. I know it hurt you and it made me feel bad too. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try not to do that again. You know, if a child came back and, you know, and said that to the parent would forgive them, wouldn't they? The parent would say, well, that's okay, Johnny. It's forgiven. Let's forget about it. Let's just go on. Well, that's basically all it is. But it takes humility. It takes a coming to our senses. It takes a lowering of ourselves. It's sometimes a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Is to say I'm sorry or to say I was wrong. We might think it's such an easy thing to do. It's simple, but it's not easy necessarily, because of our pride. You know, we want to think that we're better than that. Then we have to lower ourselves. But that's how it works. We go to the Father like a little child, tell him that we've made a mess of it all, tell him that we're guilty sinners, we've sinned over and over, and tell him that we don't want to die that way, and we don't want to continue living that way. Tell him that we've broken all his laws, the Ten Commandments. And then we turn around and we put our faith in Jesus Christ on the cross, who shed his blood to satisfy his Father's justice. He shed his blood to cover our sins so that the Father can now receive us to himself, ransomed by Christ, the debt paid in full. That's how it works. But once we've escaped the snare of the devil, and he tries to stop people, he doesn't want anyone escaping. When a person starts having their eyes opened and their ears to the gospel, the good news about salvation, first thing the devil does is jumps on him and says, hey, slow down, whoa, you don't want to do that. You got to think this through, chum. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. The person can have one leg in the grave, you know, and this story with the devil. He's never in a hurry for anyone to come to Christ. But he'll slow us down and he'll trip us up and he'll say, you don't want to become a Christian. You become a Christian, you're going to have to give up this, you're going to have to give up that, you're going to have to give up that, and then these people are going to be saying this to you, and these people are going to be saying that to you. Everyone's going to look at you sideways, and they're going to think that you're some kind of a freak. You've got to think this through. You know, let's not be in a hurry. That's the devil. Once we're concerned, he'll throw up all those roadblocks and try and stop us. And he's been successful many a time with many. Many that have become tender and realized, hey, what he said was right. Every word of it. But what's going to happen if I become a Christian? It means I change hands. I'm under new management. That means God's in charge of me. Christ is my Lord and Master. What's he going to do with me? Where's he going to take me? I mean, what's he going to do with the rest of my life? That's the devil. If he's wise enough to save you, if he's wise enough to create you, wise enough to save you, surely he's wise enough to lead you through this life. Surely you wouldn't expect the devil to do a better job. But once we have resisted the devil, the Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee. Once we have successfully resisted him and said, no, it's my life, not yours, devil. And I want to know that it's secure. I want to be saved. Once we have persisted and pressed toward the cross, because we have to use our own free will and our own determination. No one ever gets saved unless they're determined to be. I don't just come, you know, as a preacher, I don't come by and go, okay, go away, you're saved. Next, please. Yeah, you too? Okay. All right, you all only need 2 drops for this job. Okay, 1, 2. Next, please. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work. It's your will. It's your determination. You have to decide, do I want heaven? Do I want hell? Do I want Christ or do I want the devil? Do I want to make a mess of my life and then go into a Christless eternity? Or do I want God as my God and my Savior? It takes determination, and God expects it. Christ was determined to go to the cross for you and I. He expects us to be determined to at least apply for help. You know? We can't be mamby-pamby about it. And the devil's there to stop us, but we can resist him. We can overcome him. Although he's crafty. Now, once we become a Christian, then we have our battles. You know, it doesn't end, does it? I remember when I first became a Christian, there were some glory days where God gave me a lot of grace, and everything was, I was flying high for the first 3 months. You know, I just couldn't get over it, that I was a child of God now. I knew where I was going. Life made sense. Everything looked different. You know, when I looked out at the world, everything had changed. I thought, wow, this is tremendous. And there was hope. I knew God was on my side, that I knew he had a plan for me and that everything was laid out and he would lead me in it. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. 20 years of misery and now this. Well, after 3 months, my dad died. You know, he dropped dead at the age of 46. And I loved him very much. And I was a young Christian. I wasn't a very strong Christian. I didn't know much of the Bible. And the man that sort of took me under his wing for a few months, he was a missionary. He went off to India. Never saw him again. And then my dad died. And I did see him, but it was 5 years later. But I didn't see him immediately. My dad died, and I was really beside myself. And I got a bit angry at God, you know. And I thought, my dad, as far as I know, didn't know the Lord. Never told us about the Lord. Never was really that interested. But I loved him very much. And I remember saying to God, well, if he's not in heaven, I don't want to be there either. But of course, that was foolish. And I have nothing to say about it, do I? Christ paid my ransom price. He paid to cover my sins. It's done. I can't undo it. I can't change it. I can't wish for it, and I can't wish it away. But I was young and I was foolish, and then the devil comes along and he says, you don't need to go to church. You know, what kind of a God is that? Just took your dad away. You know, just stay home. You know, do something else with your time. This kind of thing. Putting all these ideas in your brain. So even when we come to Christ, the devil's not done with us. He can't ever take us to hell with him. He's lost that round. But he will try and stop us from serving Christ. He will try and get in the way. He will try and divert us. He will try and make a shipwreck of our Christian testimony. Not that he can cause us to lose our salvation. Can't do that. It's settled. It was paid by Christ. But he can cause us a lot of grief and a lot of heartache and make our service very, very questionable and unprofitable and make us an unprofitable servant. So the devil, but as the Bible said concerning the Christian, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have power to resist the devil and be victorious. And I'm thankful that the devil is in the world for us Christians, because he helps keep us in line, keeps us on our toes, you know. All right, I'm going to stop there because we have to take prayer requests and get ready to pray. I'm going to need my bag again. I don't know if there's... I can't find any paper. Everyone have a piece of paper that needs one?